Hey, podcasters, Claire Z, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Dennis Cometti talks finals footy.
We celebrate International Dog Day.
Is it a bedroom or is it a family entertaining room? It's Mitch and Mark from The Block.
And we interviewed our laugh-out-loud amateur comedian, Michelle.
You could give Dad this Big Breakfast catch-up for Father's Day, or you could really spoil him with big brand fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Snaps over the shoulder.
The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. A work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti for Battery World.
Very special day when we did a fond farewell to Polly Farmer today. Good of you to drop in this morning, Dan.
We're back.
We had a misfunction, but you're back. Your microphone's now working.
Good to see you all.
Good to see you.
And it is a big day. But that was the wrong intro. I need the cricket intro this morning.
Yeah, you do.
I'm still going from that last night. It was a real adrenaline rush. I mean, it's something I don't think I'll ever forget, which would be more impressive, I suppose, if I was 30. But even so, like, it was a great knock last night, and England deserved that test match. Well, it's a strange game, really, isn't it, when a player gets out, everybody knows he's out, and he stays and wins the game. So, anyway, tough. But a lot of Australians, I think, would have followed that through last night, listening to a bit of talkback radio from the East.
Yes.
Many of those stayed with the game too. But back to the football, because it was a bad night for the West Coast Eagles on Saturday night.
Yes.
What do we make of that?
Very disappointing. Well, have they blown it?
Well, it's going to have far-reaching effects, I would think. The Eagles have played Hawthorn twice in the last 8 weeks, which is unusual. These days, anyway.
Yes.
I mean, in the old days, in the Waffle, every 7 weeks. But they probably should have beaten the Eagles back in round 15. And because of that, Alistair Clarkson picked virtually the same team on Saturday night. He liked what he saw back in round 15.
Yeah.
And the biggest feature of the Eagles' win back in round 15 was that Nick Natanui had 42 hitouts.
Right.
So that goes to the core of the matter. Anyway, stop me if you've heard this before, but I was sorely tempted to tip Hawthorn. Actually, after watching that replay. So that's pathetic, isn't it? No guts, no glory.
No.
But tipster's remorse this morning. I sort of feel as though I should have done that. But then if Hawthorn lose, then you cop it around the city. You can't walk the city. It's not safe. So I took the safe way out. But they were too good, Hawthorn. They were really good the other night.
Yep.
And the biggest takeaway for me was just how shaky the West Coast Eagles defense was and how sort of passive the West Coast Eagles midfield was. So they have to defeat now Essendon next week. And if they do that, they'll meet the loser of Geelong and Collingwood in Melbourne. So it's all got much tougher. Mm. And it's problematic now whether they can win the premiership, I would think.
I've heard the term out-coached thrown around this morning.
Would you buy into that? Well, easy to say. I think that's the first port of call for a lot of supporters every time you lose.
Sure.
Looking at the game, there weren't many pieces to throw around the other night because they were losing in so many places.
And
that defence normally is sort of the bastion of the team, isn't it, back there?
Rock solid.
And they really looked shaky.
Yep.
And as a result, everything flows from that. And I think when other players see that happening too, I couldn't see much you could do. I think Hawthorn, on the other hand, you'd say, were very well coached, extremely well coached.
Yep.
But we probably could have predicted that coming in. And round 15 would have given the West Coast Eagles some insight into what was going to happen. But whether you can stop it, it's all very well to go to a game as a coach and know this is going to happen.
Sure.
Whether you can stop it or not, it's another thing completely. Yeah. And the other night, they simply couldn't stop it.
Form and confidence are big things, aren't they? You look at players like Barras and Darling, and all that sort of changed. That's waned a bit in recent weeks.
Wasn't it strange? And they were the two that were the shakiest in many respects.
Most
unlike them. Barras has had a couple of bad weeks. Very good player.
He is,
and these things happen, but he hasn't picked a good time to be bad.
Yeah.
Well, not bad. Mediocre.
Yeah.
His standards are very high.
As he said, a bit wobbly.
And speaking of very high standards, immediately we move to Fremantle. hard week. You didn't expect much, did you? Did you expect much?
I sort of saw the result that I was expecting on the weekend against Port. It wasn't pretty.
So Langdon and Hill, everyone's saying Brad Hill is going to leave, and so is Langdon.
Right.
So next season's not going to be easy, because looking at that game along with Fife, they were their three best players, weren't they? So you don't know what's going to happen there. It's not looking rosy for Fremantle in so many areas.
Are we going back into a rebuilding phase?
Are we? Yes. Are we?
Well, you know, just so I know, I'm always up with the words. Is it rebuilding again?
Well, yeah. The word we. Yeah. They're your team, are they?
Oh, no, I just kind of, I feel like whoever you talk to, you have to talk as if you're part of the game.
Oh, right, okay. It's
they were like, Kimber's team in 2013, didn't
they? They were my team once, just once.
Yeah.
And, taking a puppy in off the street now, Fremantle, aren't they? You've got a lovely nature. I like the way you are.
She's a fixer.
Come here.
So the biggest feature, I thought, of the weekend was the Bulldogs again.
Yes.
Our team, I think we better jump on the Bulldogs. Yeah. They got another, 18 goals, so that's 58 in 3 weeks.
You get a soft spot for the Bullies,
haven't
you?
Well, that's like football used to be played, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Run-on football, exciting football, breathtaking at times. And their football yesterday, was breathtaking. That was one of the features. And Lachie Neal gets 51 possessions.
51!
Normally, if you're at the MCG and you get 51, you hold up your bat almost, don't you? Acknowledge the crowd.
Hold the footy.
That's an amazing effort by Lachie Neal. And I suppose that's a good omen too for Brad Hill and Ed Langdon. I reckon that Lachie will go very close to the Brownlow medal.
So
it's looking good for Hill and Langdon. If they go, who knows? Glory will follow them.
I nailed it there. And just very quickly, Dan, a lot of disappointment amongst the Perth fans here in Perth, because there was a big year for the Demons.
Lost.
Peel beat them by 3 points in the final round.
Missed
the finals.
And West Perth fell in.
West Perth fell into the final.
They lost and still got in.
We'll take that. Beautiful.
Nice to see you all.
Good on you,
Dan.
Good on you, Dan. Paying tribute to the late, great Polly Farmer today there at all.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Oh, is there anything that the dog can't do for us? I mean, the relationship between dogs and human beings is about as special as it gets.
Yeah, and often as you see people get older, or if they're a bit low, only give them a pet and they can enhance your life and extend your life by many years.
Oh, I've been upset and the dog has known and come to me, you know, just that they understand us emotionally, which it makes it so special, you know?
I don't think we're far away from the day when we'll drop the poo in the park and the dog will pick it up in a plastic bag.
Oh, yeah. God, I hope that happens soon.
I was coming.
Florence is a machine.
Florence and the machine?
Well, look, we just thought for a bit of fun on International Dog Day, we'd get you to make your dog bark on cue and then we're going to guess its breed, because it should be easy to tell.
Okay. Yes.
From Ellenbrook. G'day, Troy. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you going?
Good,
yeah,
thanks.
Good. How old's your dog, Troy?
He's about 8.
He's about 8. Okay, all right. Well, can you make him bark on cue? What's his name?
Steel.
Oh, good name.
Great, all right, strong
let's
name.
Let's get Steel barking.
Yeah, see how you go.
All right, ready?
Yeah. You use your technique. did Steel cough, maybe?
You know what? Steel sounds like the kind of dog.
Oh, there he goes.
Did you get that one?
Got one.
Oh. Can you get any more there, Troy?
Oh, that's a nice throw.
I reckon, I'm going to go with a Saint Bernard.
Saint Bernard, or it's a Chihuahua with a pack a day habit.
That might be it. Troy, we're thinking big dog or pack a day habit when he's blue. How about the chocolate Labrador?
Or a bluey?
Or a
blue heeler.
He's actually an Alaskan Malibu.
They are a beautiful dog. They're a lovely dog. Don't look them in the eye. If they look you in the eye, they'll steal your heart forever.
Like the guy on Survivor.
David, he's pretty hot.
How do you combine Alaska with Malibu? I mean, are they
Malamute.
Two? Oh, Malamute. Oh, I beg your pardon.
We can change it into a Malibu.
Alaskan Malibu.
I was going to say they're climatically so different.
Well, it's like a Beach Boys dog, isn't it?
A Malibu.
It's a bit rough when he's never even heard of the dog, Troy. Troy, stay on the line. You're going to go in this draw for a great prize to the Royal Show.
You know, I haven't got a dog, never had one. So I said chocolate Labrador because Tom keeps talking about chocolate labs.
Yeah, he does.
Whatever people say.
They sound delicious.
Yeah.
Tanya's in Melville. Tanya, how old's your dog?
Hi, she's 11.
Oh, okay. What's her name?
Calamity.
Oh, Calamity's great.
Calamity Jane. Beautiful.
Calamity Jane.
Great. Excellent.
Jane, love it.
Okay. All right, Tanya, can you make Calamity bark?
Okay, ready? There you go. Is that all right?
Yeah, we got that.
Okay, I'm going with Jack Russell.
Kimber's locking in a Jack. How about you, Maddie?
Here we go. Yeah, heard it there.
Oh,
well, I think that it's a Shih Tzu.
So you're locking in a Shih Tzu.
I want to change my vote now.
No, you can't. Hey, we'll change it for the next person. Hey, Tanya, I'm going with a Newfoundland. You know those ones that look like a woolly mammoth, but it's got a very small voice.
I feel like it's a Kelpie, and I want to change my answer.
I'll go on.
Okay, Tanya, what is it?
What is it?
She's a English
Staffy. Oh,
well. They are lovely dogs.
Oh, yeah, Calamity, a cutie.
She's great, but she's quite small. She's a small one.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks, Tanya. Stay on the line. You can begin the draw for this family pass.
I was trying to fudge the rules a little bit on International Dog Day.
Calamity, I was thinking it's got that real Red Kelpie vibe about it.
Great names, too.
Yeah. Mm. Let's go to Darch. Narelle, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Everyone's in their car playing along with this one, Narelle.
Yeah. Now, Narelle, what's your dog's name and age?
He's Zed and he's 5.
Good name again.
Okay. All right, Narelle, make Zed bark.
Okay, Zed, speak. Speak. Zed, Zed, speak. Speak. Speak, speak. Speak. Zed, speak.
We got a few out there.
Narelle's like, he does it every other time, I promise.
Zed, speak.
Oh, there's a cute noise.
Oh.
Hey, Narelle, is Zed a Kelpie?
No.
Okay, Narelle, I reckon Zed is a golden retriever.
No.
There you go, Matt.
Or a Charles, what do they call it, Cavalier? No, what do you call it?
I can't hear you.
King Charles Cavalier.
King Charles Cavalier?
No, he's a big dog.
Okay. Oh, Narelle, we've all missed out. What dog is it?
He's a German Shepherd.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it's the Germans, of course.
Nothing.
Very good.
Well, Narelle, look, we're not very good at this dog breed business, are we?
No. We're terrible.
No. Well, stay on the line, Narelle. You're in the draw for this wonderful family pass to the Perth Royal Show.
Let's be honest, we were never going to get it. It was just a way of crowbarring some content in for International Dog Day.
Sometimes we've got it. Yeah, sometimes. It's pretty rare, though.
And part of that plan was for me to say silly ones because I have no dog.
That's right.
I think it worked.
An Alaskan Malibu.
Newfoundland.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
A controversy on the block.
Oh,
Mitch and Mark shocking the judges, turning the master, knocking down a wall, turning it into an entertaining space. What's going on?
Well, some could say the master bedroom is an entertainment space.
Yeah, you're right there. You're not far off the mark. And, Mitch and Mark are on the line. Good morning, boys.
Well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, we're very well. We're in the master bedroom, which we've just put together.
Guys, great to see the mystery reveal. Who needs a fourth bedroom space, really? I mean, is it likely that families are going to be buying these places?
Well, I think families might, but I don't think it's the spot where you're going to raise 3-4 children. It's sort of like a family with one or two children max, or a couple of teenagers, or empty nesters.
And the price point, when you look at these places, are huge. Everyone goes, you say it all the time. They are enormous. And
they'll be over $3 million.
Yeah, so who's going to afford? I don't know any families. Like, we've got kids and they've got kids. We've got grandkids. Our kids cannot afford a $3.5 million house.
No.
No.
I think, the buyer of this place is going to want more entertainment space. And we talked to a real estate agent, a really experienced one in Melbourne. Said, what do you think? Should we do this? And she said, absolutely. A 3-bedroom will not make a difference, but living area will. And that's why we went that way.
Yeah, and well done for being bold. Of course, it wouldn't be TV without, some dark music playing and everyone going, are they being sinister and strategic? Were you?
No, we just wanted to build the best house. So that sinister and strategic, we were absolutely sinister and strategic.
Okay, you two, you talked about price point there, and auction day is looming. Eventually we're going to get there. Do you go there with confidence, feeling like that, or do we need to call Husey, get in and buy another house?
I'd love to call Husey, but no, look, we are confident. It's interesting how it can work. Last year, the house that won was one of the least favoured homes, so you really don't know. It depends who wants it on the day. But we'll go in there feeling that we've presented the best house, and hopefully the buyers think the same, and we're at the mercy of the buyers.
And we've had an amazing experience. It's been incredible to do it.
We've been lucky to be on it.
And how about an emotional attachment to the property once you're, as you head towards completion, boys? Do you get a bit of that?
Oh, we love it.
You know,
we love
it. And I think everyone, everyone's doing the property. They're all so different. Everyone is doing the property that they love and probably the style that they like. You know, people have said we're doing this one for us. Deb and Andy are doing their style. Matt and Elise, your guys, who are lovely, are doing their style. So you do get attached. You've been for 14 weeks.
And when we come back to our small two-bedroom apartment in Bondi, we'll feel very attached to that big house.
Well, maybe you guys are going to end up as judges on the block, because sometimes I look at the experts and think, I don't know if I agree with you.
I've been judging people my whole life. Nothing.
Including yourselves.
He's qualified to judge.
Hey, boys, good to catch up, and we will see you soon, and good luck.
Thanks for having us. Bye.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
It's one of Perth's funniest nights out, and it helps sick kids. Mix 94.5's Laugh Out Loud with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber on The Big Breakfast.
Been a while coming. It's finally here on Friday night at the Astor. We're looking forward to a huge night, including the winner, the person who's chosen to join us on stage, of course, is our amateur comedian.
Soon to be professional comedian,
yes.
Michelle, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, lovely to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to meet you three.
Oh, Michelle, we are so thrilled. We put the offer out there to someone to get up and for the first time on stage and do some comedy at our Laugh Out Loud event this Friday night. And you are the winner. And so, we want to learn a little bit about you. We believe you're married, you've got kids, and this is well out of your comfort zone. You're normally a nurse.
Yes.
And so how are you feeling about Friday?
I feel a bit better now that I've come in here, and it's a charity event, and I probably won't get any booze, and it's all comfortable, so I feel much better, but I've been panicking all weekend.
Oh, no. You won't get any booze. You may have a bit of booze.
Absolutely. I will have a bit of booze before.
There will be a lot of love in the room for you, Michelle. Don't
Thank
you worry
you.
About that.
Absolutely. Are you a nurse?
Yes, I
So work. You've seen everything.
Yes,
there
I
ain't
have.
Nothing that can scare
no,
you.
No, an audience could.
Well, just imagine them on Goonies. It'll be fine.
And so have you run any of your material by anyone yet? Because it's always quite hard. Like, if you ever write a set and someone goes, show me some of your stuff, it's actually a little bit challenging to read it to a person.
To one person.
Yeah. It's not quite the same. But have you tried your material with anyone?
Look, I've just done it with my husband and my daughter, and that's it. But my daughter's got bored of it. She said, Mum, it's not funny anymore. I've heard it that many,
times
now.
Oh, but she said anymore, which means it was funny at the start.
Yes,
so that's a great sign.
She said send it in.
Great.
Fantastic.
So, Michelle, you come down from the vines today, but it's a very special week for you, Friday as well. How are you going to prepare? Can you eat when you're nervous? Can you drink when you're nervous?
Oh, I can drink when I'm nervous. There's no problem there.
You need to put a cap on that. I recommend don't have a big curry.
Oh, no.
Or anything like that before the gig.
Mind you, that could be funny.
Yeah.
Well, we are so looking forward to your set on Friday night. It's going to be a big night of love and laughter. Yeah. It is always a really good crowd. So you're in good hands.
Thank you. Yeah.
And just before you leave the station, come and talk to Kimber and I. We've got a really good joke about John Hughes, the car dealer, for you.
We just want you to steal Matt's material before he goes up.
That's all I got.
Hey, Michelle, good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe there's a couple of tickets left.
Yeah. Yeah, not many, yeah.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Mm. Yeah.
The day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Okay, this is a bit grown up for 9 minutes past six in the morning.
Lucky it's only the grown-ups that are awake.
Thanks for the warning there.
Yes. We can all be grown-ups. When you're getting ready to go out, a lot of us will dab a little bit of... So I'm not a huge user of colognes or whatnot, but you like a bit of cologne, don't you, Claire?
You say we get my desk and have a bit of a spray?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't leave the house without putting on some perfume.
A little something?
Yes.
Just under the... Where do you put it? On your wrists?
No, I go for the neck.
Yes.
Yeah, just the neck.
Okay. This lady in England, Shan Boodram, she's a kind of an influencer, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And she's suggesting that women use their vaginal fluids to sort of, apply it as you would perfume before you go out.
Is this thing still on? Are we still on?
You gave us a warning but I wasn't expecting those two words to be
I wasn't
together.
Expecting it when I saw the she's quite seriously that using that, especially around ovulation, will give you an extra boost of confidence and serve as a kind of a love potion.
Oh.
Yeah. Said I'm gonna make it up right here in the scene.
It smell like turpentine and look like Indian. Smells like turpentine.
A love potion indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I'm no human biologist.
No, I know
but
that.
But isn't the idea of pheromones and all and the natural time of ovulation and all of that meant to be a primal thing? Like, well, dogs know when they're on heat.
Yeah.
They don't need to wear the perfume on their body.
Well, you've had a dog in heat recently.
I don't need to rub myself in fluid.
Hey. Don't, you know, trying to keep them away from her.
You have.
Well, that's exactly what she's suggesting. And I guess it does feel like as humans we've lost some contact with that innate instinct stuff. So maybe one does need to make it a little bit more obvious.
Perhaps.
So anyway,
well,
look.
It leads one to think of what other secretions we could use.
Each to their own.
To lure in a...
But Sian,
someone in.
Of course, Sian says that she's not sure whether these pheromones do make a person irresistible or the fact that you've done it just makes you feel more emboldened. But can I just suggest a few positive affirmations if that's what you're after?
Yeah, that's all I need to do.
Anyway, I was thinking maybe you could be a good Kimber as a crack.
I feel sick and I want to go home.
All right.
Can it not be this week?
Yep. That's all I got.
It's a week in September you can do it, Kimber.
Have I ruined the show already?
Yeah, you have.
It's the internet.
No, lucky we're all grown up.
Yeah. It's done.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Some cricket history was made last night at Headingley.
Yeah, we thought the Ashes were coming home.
Australia on the verge of retaining the Ashes, Kimber. This is, how would you describe it in a word?
Captivating.
Oh, true. Lovely.
True. You did say sensational earlier as well, and you'd be right on both counts, because as Australia were on the verge of winning the Ashes, the English bowled out for 60-odd in their first innings in this test, and they have made, at Headingley, final innings of the third Ashes test, 359 to win. It was phenomenal last night.
358 for 9. Stokes on strike. England need one to win. And in comes Pat Cummins from the far end. He bowls to Stokes, who hammers it for 4!
None of us could believe it, including someone who stayed up all night. Lachie Reid, good morning, mate.
Oh, it was unbelievable, guys. I tell you what, firstly, an apology to the guy I took the mickey out of on Friday night, the Englishman. I was hosting a function, and when I heard the score that it was 67, oh, gee, did I rip into him. Now I'm feeling really silly. That was amazing last night. He'll be called Sir Ben Stokes very, very soon. In fact, he'll be knighted over the next couple of days, I would have thought. That was unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, it sounds like Stokes got himself a key to the city. He's set now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just amazing. It was quite... I don't know whether you guys stayed up to watch it, but when it was at about 40 or 50 runs to go, you know, you were on your edge of your seat just going, just one more wicket, come on, just one more wicket. And then when he started hitting the sixes and fours, you were just going, man, this is just too good. I can't even get frustrated with this result because he is playing so well that he actually deserved to win the game for England. And then there was a decision, an LBW's decision that the Aussies tried to review, and it was a bad review. Then they got another chance to review, but they didn't have any more reviews left. And then there was a run out. It was just, it was a movie. It was unbelievable, the final few stages of that game last night.
Yeah, hear, hear. And I don't want to put a negative spin on it because it was a great moment for England and it sets the series up beautifully. But, you know, did we choke a little bit? Did the Aussies, they didn't bowl all that well with a new ball either?
Well, I mean, choke's a harsh word, isn't it? But I suppose
let's use it anyway.
We'll go with it anyway. Yes, they probably did. I mean, there were moments there where they bowled superbly. They had England on their back, on the back foot. But, I mean, Stokes' innings, you can't go on about it enough.
No.
I mean, no matter how well they bowled, Stokes was whacking them to the fence.
Mm.
And not only whacking him to the fence, he was whacking them way over the fence. Even his edges were going for 6. It was just incredible. And then, yes, the run out. I reckon if you said to Nathan Lyon, let's go out into the field at training and let's throw that ball to you 10 times.
Yeah.
I reckon 10 times he would grab that ball and run the bloke out. But that's pressure.
Yep.
And then, of course, that decision to review the Cummins ball, which you knew wasn't out, was just a desperate review. And I suppose you sit there going, well, how do you know that, you know, so many balls later that possibly there was going to be an LBW again for Stokes, which would have won the game. So, yeah, but it's all pressure, and that's how it unfolded. And you just have to wonder maybe whether Steve Smith was in the field that things would have been a little different. The former skipper might have calmed everything down, but in hindsight, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We move on to the next test, which will be in a ripper.
Hey, like, I did say that to Matt this morning. I thought there was a point there with the Aussie bowling when we took the new ball. It was a little bit loose, and maybe that captain, you know, having that captaincy there, maybe Payne wasn't quite strong enough that time. But let's be honest, Stokes started very, very slowly in this innings, and it was Bairstow who was the aggressor at that stage.
Bairstow was brilliant. And then, as you said, maybe Stokes, is the start to his innings, just set him up beautifully.
Yeah.
But he was a man on a mission, wasn't he? Nothing was going to stop him from winning the match. And then there was that bloody leech at the end. he hung around like a leech, don't you worry. He just batted away. I think he faced 17 balls and scored one run in a 70-odd run partnership. He was annoying the crap out of me, but that was a gutsy little innings too from the bloke. Every time he went to the other end, he would wipe his glasses and just stall out the tension a little bit more. So, well done to England. I mean, you can't be angry with that result. We just move on to the next test, and hopefully the Aussies can win one of the two. That's all they have to do to retain the Ashes.
Oh, cricket's the real winner here, Lockie.
Hey!
Cricket's the winner.
You are on board. Yeah. I'm going to sit up with you at the next test till midnight each night and see how we go.
I think that's a challenge for Kimber on Kimber Has a Crack.
Kimber Has a Crack.
Yeah.
She has to watch the 5 days of the next test and give us a report each morning.
I love it.
Absolutely. We'll keep my eyes open for that.
No, they'll be shutting. Hey, good on you, Lockie. All the best, mate. We'll catch you soon.
See you, guys.
Thanks, Lockie. Bud.
Wish you listened to Dad as well as you listened to a Big Breakfast catch-up? Spoil it with big brand fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.